The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
I am John Age, and you have indeed entered into the Anomic Age. Thanks for being with us today. We got a great show. We got Joey Gibson coming up in just a few. But before we get into that, please check out AnomicAge.com. Share that link. Everybody in your social media, just copy and paste it in there. Share away. All those people in your email list, say AnomicAge.com. It's a great show. Also, we got tons of other stuff on the site you can download. The Android or the iPhone app. There's the free mailing list at the bottom, so you can actually get on my email list. All free so far. As well, you can do the most important stuff, the Patreon link and the PayPal link. So if you like what you've been watching, it's not free for me. It's just free for you right now. So please check it out, patreon.com/AnomicAge or paypal.me/AnomicAge2. If you got any monies to spare, feel free to send some my way. We can get some new equipment. We can get those shirts and stickers and mugs and all that good stuff. And live stream. Oh, yeah. All that and more at AnomicAge.com. But without further ado, please hold on to your hats and stick around for a few. We got Joey Gibson coming up in a mere matter of moments. You will not want to miss this episode. Stick around. I'm pleased to welcome Mr. Joey Gibson into the Anomic Age today. Joey is an advocate for freedom and believes it is important for followers of Christ to take the church into the streets, city councils, Capitol buildings, courthouses, or anywhere we see injustice running unopposed, including China. Gibson believes that remaining silent is consent and lives by the motto, rebellion to tyranny is obedience to God. He has traveled around the country giving speeches, pleading with patriots, and believes to stand now, for he believes it could be our country's last chance. Gibson has organized dozens of marches and rallies in support of free speech, gun rights, medical freedom, and sanctuary counties for the Constitution. He has participated in numerous campaigns from the city level all the way up to the federal level and runs public relations for several advocates fighting for freedom. Thanks so much, Joey.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. It's always good to talk to somebody on the opposite coast.
Yeah.
Man. Well, I thought we'd start out with this because I know we were supposed to talk, sadly, I think right after the unfortunate events that happened a few weeks ago. And we don't have to get into it at all. We can just touch on it if you want to, but I definitely wanted to at least mention that. And, you know, I know you've probably said what you've had to say 1,000 times and everybody's seen that really tragic video, but if you could just paint a picture for everybody of maybe the man that Mr. J. Danielson was, because I don't think that's something that's really been touched on enough. I know he was a patriot. He was a follower of you guys with Patriot Prayer. And I didn't know him at all, but from all accounts, everything I've seen, this really seemed to be a stand-up guy out there trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, he's definitely a unique character, was very calm, very creative, highly intelligent, funny, but very, very gentle, courageous, but very gentle. And so the thing that I've been telling everybody, been telling every single reporter, you know, anybody that didn't really know him, if you knew who he was, you would never want to hurt him. And so that's what makes the whole situation, I guess, sad or makes me angry because, you know, they killed him simply because, most likely just because of a hat he was wearing, not because of who he was and the type of heart that he had.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so crazy. He just had a Patriot Prayer hat on, from what I saw. He didn't have a Trump hat on. He didn't have anything crazy. I mean, I don't know what you could possibly disagree with about those two sentiments on the hat.
Yeah, you know, we can only speculate. there were two guys walking together with Patriot prayer hats. It's pretty easy also to spot Patriots in downtown Portland unless they're trying to hide who they are. And so, you know, usually Antifa types don't wear camouflage pants or any type of cargo pants. They usually wear really tight black jeans, you know.
The stereotypical hipster gear.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of speculation out there. We do think that it was an execution. We do think that they were following them. And we do think that they were looking for people to hurt that day because there was that huge Trump truck cruise. And the Trump cruise actually, you know, a lot of people assume that it happened during the car cruise in Portland, but it didn't. It happened after. And I'm pretty sure what he was doing is he was walking back to his car to go home because he lived in Portland. And he had his bear mace out like he should because he's walking in downtown Portland. So, and it came, you know, from what Chandler said, they did not see it coming at all. And the video shows that too.
Yeah, certainly. And we can touch on this at the end of the show as well, but is there a good Patreon or a PayPal or anything out there for the family members of this gentleman?
Yeah, if you go to justiceforjnow.com, justiceforjnow.com, there's some links on there where you can donate. We would like to get more donations. I think they got about $70,000, but we'd like to keep that going and you know, hopefully raise a lot more.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll definitely put that in the show links and the guests.
Great. Yeah, that'd be
availabilities
good
as well.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, coming to you from the total opposite side of the country here, you know, I know everybody's not in Seattle. They're not in Washington State or Portland where everything's just, it looks like it's just on fire right now. I mean, from my vantage point, but could you kind of paint the picture for the person that might be in Nebraska or might be in Florida or what have you? Like, I mean, how bad is it out there in the streets of Portland?
So Portland is a little bit different from Seattle. Seattle's trying harder to get their stuff together, it seems like. I mean, in terms of allowing the riots. But in Portland, it's a whole different ballgame. So during the day, the downtown's completely empty. So you see a lot of people take video in downtown Portland during the day and be like, look at it, city's not burning down. That's because they're not out there at nighttime. At nighttime, if you're anywhere near the mob, if you don't completely conform to their ideology, if you don't look like them, they will attack you. I don't know if you guys saw, there's a video where they had stopped a truck, a random truck, and the guys got caught by surprise. I don't think they had anything to do with the politics at all because they were so confused. And they were forcing them to put their fists up and say Black Lives Matter. And they weren't saying it. They weren't saying it loud enough. And so they're like, say it louder. Like, it was so creepy. In order for them to pass, they had to say their cultish chants. And so this is crazy. And I think the scary thing is it's going to be tempting for us to get used to this stuff. But this is the United States of America. You're telling me that we have, traffic stops where they're going to check your political ideology and make a decision on whether or not they're going to destroy your car or assault you. And they actually ended up, those guys were kind of like, okay, Black Lives Matter, but they actually ended up destroying their truck anyways. And so I remember when that first started happening, let's see, in 2017, they started redirecting traffic right in front of the police and they would attack people if they didn't follow their directions. And so, you know, that kind of got me going into Portland a little bit with large groups because we were so angry about it. Right now though, we have an election to win and we've kind of noticed that when Antifa and Black Lives Matter are down there and they're just burning down their own city, it kind of wakes people up and they understand this isn't about left versus right. Yeah, this is about these, communists who are just filled with hatred, who are confused, and just want to destroy things. With no strategy, no sense of, responsibility to their community or anything. And so Portland is really bad. And the thing is I just wish people weren't getting hurt, but when they're actually helping us right now, they're helping wake up a lot of people. I just don't want to see people get hurt.
Yeah. I mean, it really does seem like cult level brainwashing. I mean, while you were talking, I was thinking like Children of the Corn is kind of what it seems like, where these rogue bands of just communists are just, you know, say the right phrase or you can't pass. I mean, it's like some sort of bizarre elementary school stuff if it wasn't so real and so violent. It's just nuts.
It's getting bad, and I'm like more and more convinced that this is cult is kind of a closer word to use, but it's also I don't want to say satanic to the point where they're all out there for satanic reasons consciously, but it's definitely spiritual, and you definitely have people at the top who are directing the crowds that are definitely satanic by nature, and you can see it manifest in the crowd. You can see normal people start to turn into you see that hatred come out more and more. It's conforming to the crowd, the mob. It's the mob mentality. I have a lot of experience with the mob mentality. I've been in them a lot. I've seen them, and it is something that you cannot explain. The videos don't even do the justice, but when you're down there, you can feel it. And it's a dark, dark energy. Portland, I've been to pretty much, I don't know. I don't want to say every major city in the United States of America, but a lot. I've had a privilege to travel. But Portland is by far the darkest city I've ever been into in my entire life. And so there's definitely something going on down there. I've been told by people who kind of know what's going on in Portland that they don't know how they're going to survive. The city of Portland is going to survive. I think the system will collapse. You have COVID on top of that. As soon as they kind of releasing on the lockdown, the riots started and they started destroying all the buildings. And so a lot of these businesses are only open in downtown Portland because they don't have to pay their lease right now. So as soon as they will have to pay their leases, as soon as that gets lifted, I think the entire city is just going to self-destruct and collapse, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see any business wanting to go down there. I feel so bad for these folks that have been attacked in their cars. Yeah. Because, I mean, the average person, I mean, if you start beating somebody's car or truck, they don't have a few thousand dollars to pull out and pay for it, and you don't know what the insurance is going to do. I mean, just right. Economically, they're hurting the people. They're hurting total strangers.
Yeah.
And it does really seem like an evil – I don't want you to call it evil specter, evil spirit, what have you, that's really infecting these folks. It's kind of ironic. I was talking to a guest earlier, and I was driving in recently, and I was listening to a pastor on the radio, and he gave a lot of info, but the crux of it was sometimes you can say the most complex thing, and it's not able to be understood by people, and you can just say it so succinctly and simply, and it just makes the most clear sense to everybody. And when I'm looking at this, kind of like you, I'm looking at just – it's a good versus evil thing. I mean, it's communist versus republic, but it's really at its heart. I do think it's just a good versus evil thing going down. It's just sick. I don't know what words for it, really.
Yeah, and it's weird for me because, you know, I'm not a victim, but I've been treated pretty bad by these people. But I don't have any anger towards them because the main reason why is because my heart bleeds for them. I know that they're miserable and I can see the pain. I can see the suffering. My anger is directed towards the people at the top, the people who have been lying to them, the people who have been manipulating, dividing this country. I think about Jay, for example, and I think about the reason why he was shot was because this guy who shot him, I don't know if you've seen any videos of him talking. He's mentally, he's stupid. Okay. I'm not trying to be rude to him or whatever, but he's mentally unstable. He's a pathological liar. He is an easy man to be able to control, an easy man to be able to manipulate. And so he killed Jay because he truly believed, this is just my opinion, he truly believed that Jay was some dangerous white supremacist fascist. I think that he actually thought that he was protecting his community by murdering this random guy. And so, you know, and now Michael's dead too, because of these lies that people have put into his head. And so, you know, it's just weird. I had a dream about a week ago and I was at some school or whatever, and these Antifa kids just started opening fire on a bunch of people. And I don't know how it happened, but I ended up going into the room where they're at, and for whatever reason, they didn't kill me. And I asked them to give me their guns. And I felt bad for them. I was asking them to give me their guns. And they one guy almost did it. And the other ones were like, no, don't give it to them. And so then I left. And then they just got murdered by the police. It was weird. It was like the fact that they wouldn't give up their fight, you know. And so I think that there's going to be a horrible future for these people. I think the justice will come real soon. and especially if Trump wins again, I think that the feds are going to come down hard, and a lot of these kids are probably going to spend a long time in prison or maybe even die.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an unfortunate consequence I see coming down the pike too. And I think it really does create these true believers. I mean, I think you're spot on when you see these people. When I always look at them, I really do see somebody that is mentally not there. They're not all together there. But I mean, I keep looking at the perfect storm. I mean, they've had several generations of indoctrination with what I just call the cult of academia, where you get the K-12 indoctrination, college university weaponization. And it's so sad, like every day you could just search, you know, conservatives academia or communist academia, and there's just tons of articles where this is just ubiquitous. These professors, all the way down to kindergarten, where they're just imbuing these children with this craziness. So, I mean, I get it when, you know, you see that unfortunate incident with your friend being murdered, and I see that guy, and I'm like, well, I mean, I kind of get it. That's all he got fed for decades. So, I mean, he really does probably, to your point, believe that he's doing the right thing. He thinks he's stamping out fascism. I mean, they have this bizarro world, I don't know, like mindset where they think Klansmen are like on horseback galloping over the plains, like reaping anybody of color. And it's just nonsense and insanity. But I think they really do buy it. They believe the hype.
Yeah, they definitely do. Well, you have, I always talk about this. There's two different types of people that are causing problems. You have the people at the bottom, the pawns, who literally believe that what they're doing is a good cause. And then you have the people manipulating more of the leaders. These are people who are more of the hardcore communists who have an intent to destroy the country so they can rebuild it through anarchy and then build a communist dictatorship, I guess you would say. But the funny thing is, what these people don't understand is these large corporations are helping them. So these people are acting like they're against large corporations, or they think they are, but they're getting all the help from the elitists, the people at the top. And so that's what they don't understand. Basically, what I believe is happening is you look at these giant corporations and they're trying to build up China. You have Nike, Apple, Google, all these places are building up China, but then there's pouring money into Black Lives Matters. Nike, for example, you know, they have Kaepernick and LeBron. And so they try to lecture us about our racism all the time, but then they have slave labor in China and they're making, you know, millions and millions of dollars as athletes off of the, from slave labor. And then, you know, obviously China has the concentration camps. They have, you know, millions of Muslims, Christians, and even, Tibetans. They have them all over the place in concentration camps, and they don't talk about that. So what I think is happening is these giant corporations and rich politicians, they've basically been selling out our country to China for a long time. And so what I've been trying to say, and I'm trying to help people understand, is that if we as a country can understand that China is the enemy, we are at war with China. It's not necessarily a hot war, not yet. But we need to openly declare that we're at war with China so that we can go after all the traitors to this country, all the money that's been coming in from China, the money that's funding these riots, the people who get money from China. I think that's very important.
Yeah, I know you kind of mentioned some of these people at the top, and I know we're seeing that in Portland where you got the police chief and the mayor, and I even think the city council members and some of these attorney generals are kind of all complicit in this. Am I right?
Yeah, so you have the DA, Mike Schmidt. He's very complicit in everything in terms of his discriminatory prosecution is what he's doing. He's basically, if you are a communist, then they're going to let you go. And so this is why the Oregon State Police pulled out, because they said that they would arrest people that were putting their lives in danger, and then they'd be on the street the next day. So they pulled out. You have that issue, and you have George Soros, where people say George Soros and they think that it's just some conspiracy theory, but you can track the money that George Soros has put out to DAs all over the country to get them elected. And Mike Schmidt is one of them. George Soros donated $20,000 to him. And George Soros openly has toppled, I think, like 20 something countries and destroyed their currency and gotten rich off of it. And so, you have all these people collaborating, but it's even above that. Like even Mike Schmidt is a pawn in all of this. Ted Wheeler, the mayor, is the biggest pawn I've ever seen in my entire life. So Ted Wheeler reminds me of someone. If you look at the way that he talks, like they have him, blackmailed or something. I don't know what they have on him, but he is not in control because everything he's doing is ruining his political career without a doubt. Like he has no future in politics. The only reason why he's going to win, probably win this election, is because he's running against a candidate who openly supports Antifa. So, so Portland has to pick between Ted Wheeler or this, or they're going to go even further to the left with this other, her name's Sarah. So yeah, it's crazy what's happening right now.
And what are you seeing from the police on the street out there? Because I mean, on the one hand, I want to blame them for not stepping up. On the other hand, they're getting told to stand down. And I don't even think they want to be there anymore. It's gone so south.
Yeah, so the Portland police, I think they're down like 40 or 50% of what they need. And it's been happening for years now. And yes, the police are scared. The police are scared to go to jail. They're scared to, from what I've been told, a lot of times they're told to stand down. It was really bad when conservatives were going into Portland and then people were getting assaulted in front of the police and they couldn't do anything. They were afraid to intervene because they were afraid that they would get prosecuted. So they're leaving, you know, they spit on them, they throw things at them, they throw piss on them, treated with complete trash. And on top of that, they're treated by trash by Ted Wheeler. Ted Wheeler lies all the time. He never takes responsibility. He throws the police under the bus, yet Ted Wheeler runs the police. They talk about police. They're talking about how the police abuse the protesters, police brutality. And then Ted Wheeler the other day takes away the right to use tear gas. So if you can't use tear gas to disperse the crowds, that means you're going, you know, batons and going hand to hand. And so that's going to cause more injuries. And so I would leave. Fire them, I would leave. And I was even – it sucks. I think about this all the time, but it sucks because people would get hurt. But, like, I think about this all the time. I'm like, the police in some of these big cities, they literally just need to go on strike for 2 weeks and just don't walk onto their job. People will get hurt. It is very true. But then the city will wake up. Minneapolis is going through that right now. The police didn't go on strike, but the police just aren't responding to calls. So crime's skyrocketing. And so pretty soon the people in Minneapolis are going to be begging for the police to come back.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about with the DA is trying to charge the police if they actually intervene with crime. I mean, how insane is this, man? Like, sometimes I have to pinch myself to look at the news and I'm like, yeah, this is really going on. I got nowhere.
Well, you have the it's police and Patriots are kind of dealing with the same thing. Police are in a much harder situation, but if you look at all over the country, if you try to defend yourself with firearms, they're going to come after you. If you have a DA that's a far left DA, you have Kyle, obviously, and then you have the cop who responded to a guy with a knife. And so the sister had called the police because she felt like her life was in danger. So he came and that guy came out of the house and chased him down with a knife like a madman.
Yeah, I saw that video. Down. It looked like something right out of a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie, yeah, yeah. That's that whole spiritual thing. And so he put him down, which I thought was completely justified. I would have. And yeah. So, and now they're going after, they're going to riot because of that. I don't know if you saw a video. There's a black guy that literally shot himself in the head. He committed suicide, like, at a rally or at a protest. And then they rioted because of that, you know, blaming the police. Thank God that got caught on film. I mean, these guys can't do anything right. So my point is this, though. Also, the couple, that rich couple, I can't remember if it was New Jersey or what.
I saw them.
They broke down their gated community, and so they're out there standing with their guns, which they probably shouldn't have been pointing it at them. But here's my point, though, is that they have been somewhat unsuccessful in getting the gun control that they want. It's very difficult to go through legislation. You know, you still have a lot of people that believe in the Second Amendment, even Democrats. And so this is their way of putting gun control into this country without going through legislation. So if you have these DAs that are just charging people left and right just for legally using your firearms, right, then it makes it worthless. I mean, you can't even use your firearms anymore. In Portland a few years ago, this mob started chasing after a guy. He pulled his gun out. He didn't even use it. He just pulled it out. And then they charged him with the crime, and I think he got a couple of years or something. Maybe it was less than that. But so, yeah, it's really unfortunate. That's how powerful these DAs are.
Yeah, that couple was in St. Louis. I was looking at it while you were speaking. That was the two people on their property where they had these communists coming into their gate and trying to, you know, just lay siege to their house. And I don't know what you're supposed to do. Just invite them in for tea while they burn, rape, murder, and pillage. I don't know.
Right, right. And this is what they're trying to do. I talk about this all the time. This is what's happening in this country. They're trying to, number one, make it impossible for the police. They're trying to build hatred for the police. They're trying to defund the police because that gives power to the mob. Okay. They want the mob to be able, they want, that's their soldiers. Okay. That's what people understand. They think this mob is just, they're just citizens, you know, that are just running around, but they're being directed by people in power. So this is what they do. When the elitists or the people at the top, they want the mob to target someone, they do a media campaign talking about how I've been through this. You know, they'll say Joey Gibson's a racist, white supremacist. They'll do it all over the place. They'll even have politicians come out calling white supremacists. So that way, when I come out to do a rally and I want to talk about freedom and God, things that commies hate, they have a mob there that will try to kill us, all of us, and the police stand down, right? Yeah. And on top of that, we can't defend ourselves. There's no police, and we can't defend ourselves, whether it be with our fists or with firearms, because they're going to come in and they're going to prosecute one of us. Like they did that to me. They gave me a felony for standing on the sidewalk and recording. And then they're going to put me in front of a jury with 12 people from Portland who all believe that I'm a white supremacist. So they're trying to take away your rights as an average, normal American, because that is really what I am. I'm not any sort of extremist. I love this country. I believe in freedom. I don't care. You know, I'm not even really that political. I just want us to have our rights. They want normal Americans like me to not have a right to defend myself, to not have a right to speak up, to not have a right to say things that most people agree with that you don't hear about on mainstream media. This is why they censor us on social media. And so that's what they're trying to do right now. That's what people need to understand. That's what Mao did. Mao gave power to the mob to be able to go through the different cities and to be able to attack people who didn't agree with their ideology, who didn't agree with their techniques. They would attack them, and there was no justice for the crimes that these little miniature armies, which were mostly young people, could do. And also, I want to remind you guys, these people are also going around tearing down all the statues, tearing down everything so that people didn't have their history. They didn't have an understanding of their past because they wanted to build a new reality for China so that people would, you know, put up with the dictatorship, basically.
Yeah, you can say that again. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. They're conditioning everybody with these different psychological operations, and they're using the mainstream media like Pravda right out of the Soviet Union to disinformation everybody. Oh, Joey's this extremist. And then, like you said, you know, they're conditioning everybody with this. Oh, we better not use our guns because the DA is going to put us in prison. So, you know, what's the point in having it if you can't use it? Because everybody's been conditioned to just say, oh, we better put our guns away and get beat to death, I guess. I mean, that's what they're doing. And I was looking at the news today where we got Louisville boarding up in preparation for potential Breonna Taylor riots. Kind of like you said in the beginning, like people are getting conditioned to this stuff. Like, oh, well, we better board our businesses up and shut down because we know the lunatic communists are going to come burn us out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really frustrating. It's really scary. And I think it's, for me, it's this 50-50 thing. Like, I hate these riots and I hate what's going on right now. I hate the mob. I'm not hating the individuals, but I hate the mob. But it's almost like the only way people can wake up in this country right now, it's the only way people can actually get educated is seeing the consequences to their ideology, because they're in such bubbles. You know, I think about Portland, for example. They're in such bubbles in Portland for so long, they don't allow people who have a different voice to speak. Otherwise, they will beat you up. And so it's almost like they have to get what they want, right? This is what they want. This is what they're going to get. And then now they got to learn their lesson and move on from there. I think Portland's learning their lesson right now. I think the country in general is learning their lesson right now. support for Black Lives Matters is plummeting. The riots has absolutely destroyed the, you know, Biden in terms of his chances of getting elected, I believe. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's a sad truth of what's going on. It's really disturbing. And I kind of just, I don't know what you see coming up as the election looms, but I'm just sort of seeing they're probably going to pull a lot more false flags and try to demonize both sides. They're stoking that divide and conquer still. They're not giving up that ghost yet. They're still going to try to prod both sides, I think, into doing something, whether it's by false flags or whether it's by some actual events going down. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, false flag is always possible. You know, you look at what happened with Charlottesville. I'm not saying that that was fake what had happened, but it was definitely a setup the way that happened. And it was very successful for about, you know, a year or so in terms of dividing this country. But I think that the thing that's going to be very interesting is that I do believe that I don't like saying this too much because I don't want people to get lazy, but I do believe Trump will win in a landslide on Tuesday, on November 4th or whenever election day is. And then the Democrats are going to be pushing hard that he did not win. They're going to be talking about mail-in ballots and be pushing that for a long time. And so I think that's going to cause a huge divide in the country where Democrat voters are going to say Trump didn't win. Republican voters are going to say Trump did win. I think that's going to cause a lot of division. And then the media, of course, is going to push it really hard. They're going to say that Trump had screwed with the USPS just to, you know, rig the election. And the crazy thing about that is that if they don't have a consensus on who the president is by January 20th, I believe what happens is Nancy Pelosi takes over for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so, which was interesting because about 2 weeks ago, she said she was second in line to be president, which was really interesting to me because she's not second in line. She's third in line. But she said that, and she kind of is second in line once we get to January 20th if there's no consensus. But thank God, you know, we have another Supreme Court justice that we can put in, hopefully within the next 45 days. So they're probably going to be involved with the election.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember Nancy Pelosi was coming out, I think, MSNBC 2 or 3 weeks ago and saying that. And almost, you know, you could cue all the puppets to say the same thing, because I think Eric Holder was saying that not too far removed from those comments. And Mad Max Maxine was saying something similar. Mm-hmm. But their whole narrative was, we're not going to accept anything. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're just going to keep stoking the violence and the total bedlam, which is so disheartening because, I mean, this is coming from supposedly American politicians. Why would they want to see bedlam and unrest all across the country other than to, you know, go back to those communist tenets, destabilize the country, do away with the police force, bring in their own Stasi, a la Antifa BLM to run things.
Well, the crazy thing, Nancy Pelosi even said that, she said even if Trump doesn't leave the White House, they can have an inauguration somewhere else. So
yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
The presidency isn't about geography or location. I was like, what are these guys going to try to do? Like, because if Trump wins and he refuses to leave, are they going to have an inauguration for Biden just somewhere else and just claim that he's the president? Because they do have the COG. And then there's even the talk about, you know, I don't know how they'd be able to pull this off, but they're even talking about taking the blue states and having them secede. And they're going to go, they're basically going to use the popular vote. They're going to say, oh, well, the popular vote, you know, pick Biden. And so that'll be really interesting to see what happens. All I know is I want to get through 2020. I want to get through this election. I'm praying and hoping that things will calm down. I don't know, you know, I also want to get through all this COVID BS. I want the truth to be out there. I know the truth. Truth is out there. CDC is starting to speak the truth a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, what are you seeing on the COVID front out where you are? Because I'm in North Carolina, and it's, I just say, under the control of communist Roy Cooper, so we're still under this mask decree from the king, which is a total hogwash. But, I mean, that's kind of what we're still seeing here. You know, economy be damned. Businesses, if you got a gym, if you got a cleaning business, you're just screwed. But liquor store, Walmart, you're good to go.
It was a scam. And again, that was the big corporations. The big corporations came in and had a lot to do with all that because they got to stay open. Small businesses had to close down. And so, yeah, out here, everybody wears masks. I don't. I do once in a while, but I don't. I'll go into Safeway, any grocery store without a mask on. Every once in a while, they'll come up and hassle me, but they don't. It's just as awkward for the workers to hassle me than it is for, you know, other people. But I think that, you know, the truth is out there. If you look at the CDC, CDC finally admitted that only 6% of the reported 200,000 COVID deaths are from just COVID. The rest of them are for other reasons, but they died with COVID. You also have the CDC is now came out and said that they're withdrawing their statements that it's airborne. So, and the, it's so crazy. So they basically, CDC basically withdrew, you know, their statement saying it's airborne. But if you search that on Google, all the headlines make it sound like CDC is saying that it's airborne. So they're really manipulating. But here's the thing though. You have all these people who intentionally screwed over our economy with this scam, with this lie. You have a virus that was probably man-made, most likely involved with Big Pharma. Obviously involved with China without a doubt. Okay. So you have all these people that colluded, that came together, that in my opinion is nothing short of treason. All these politicians that supported, all these people that helped out China, to destroy this country. And to basically, this is the scary part, is that basically to destroy the Constitution is what it was. That was the intent. That's what they're still going to try to do. Can you imagine if we had Hillary Clinton in office right now? I mean, we would be like Australia right now. In Australia, yeah. They arrest you for making a post, you know, saying that COVID-19 isn't real. And so I feel like we'll get through this, especially if Trump wins election. But it's so scary how close we were for complete world dominance, for complete world oppression. It's so scary.
Yeah, everything going on in Australia is terrifying. And now we're seeing, I was here today where we're seeing these folks going for blood draws door to door, or something is occurring a little bit here in the States. And I'm just, you know, both Christians, we sort of see where this whole thing's going. So this whole Mark of the Beast thing and this forced inoculation and the Bill Gates eugenics and chips, like none of that bodes well for any of us, I don't think.
Yeah, forced inoculations is very scary. I mean, I don't want this government or any major corporation to forcefully inject me. I will never do it. I'd rather go live in the woods. I don't trust them. I don't trust Bill Gates at all. Now, Trump did something kind of smart. And what he did is he said he's going to come out with his own vaccine. He said he's going to have it before November, before the election, which was very smart of him because he can basically do what Russia did. Putin came up with a vaccine that's so weak and so basically watered down that it's a lot safer than normal vaccines. And so, but it's there to kind of help the country psychologically so we can move forward. Mm-hmm. And so Trump's doing this. And by Trump doing this, by saying they're going to have a vaccine for Project Warp Speed, he basically got all the Democrats to all of a sudden be against vaccines.
Even
Bill Gates is like, oh, I wouldn't trust his vaccine. But what, we're just going to trust yours? So it's like.
Of course, Bill Gates hadn't killed, you know, thousands of people in India and Africa, no.
Yeah. Maimed a lot of them, too. One of the biggest causes of polio was his polio shot. But that, I was scared there for a little bit, especially when I didn't see Trump speak out enough. He kind of has been playing along with this scam. Not that he had bad intentions, but I think he was playing the game so that they couldn't turn it around on him. But if you look at it, it's nice to see his rallies, you know, 30,000 people, none of them wearing masks. It's a beautiful thing to see. And it's kind of the truth right in your face. And he goes into cities where he's basically breaking their ordinances or breaking the governor's orders and just doing it. And so anyone who looks close enough will begin to see that, you know, this whole thing is BS.
Yeah, I know he was in North Carolina like two times. I think he's here tomorrow or today. I can't recall, but he's been in this state quite a bit, and he doesn't seem to be following Roy's rules. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. And I think it's refreshing for people to see that at home because, you know, when you go out into a grocery store and every single person is wearing a mask, you just naturally think that everyone's just buying into it, but it's not true. Everyone's just half the people are just buying into the social pressure. And so I literally have people come up and thank me when I'm with my family. We're not wearing masks. I had a wife of a sheriff come up to me and was like, she kind of pulled her mask down. She's like, do you get hassled at all when you do this? I was like, not really. And she's like, I want to pull my mask off so bad. But we talked for a while. She just was inspired that we weren't doing it. And so I encourage people I believe it's kind of a moral obligation. I see people start taking their masks off when they see me not wearing a mask. And so I think that if you believe that these masks are worthless and you believe that they're just meant to control you and get you ready for something bigger like vaccines, you should not wear it as much as you possibly can. Some places you got to wear it. You just wear it, fine. But a lot of places you don't have to. And someone may come up and talk to you and it may be awkward, like a worker, but you just be really nice, be really polite and just say, you know, I'm not going to wear a mask. You can kick me out if you want. You know, I know that you don't want to kick me out. I'm not here to be rude, but I can't, you know? And so usually they just leave me alone. And so, the other day though, I went to a gas station and the worker started freaking out on me.
Oh, geez.
She was like, you have to wear a mask and everything. And she's like, I hate these masks, but they keep coming in and harassing me. I think she's talking about L and I or something. Mm-hmm. And, I was like, I don't want to wear a mask. And so she, like, we went back and forth. I was like, okay, well, you know, the law is that you have to give curbside service then because I have a health issue. And she was like, fine. And so I ordered 35 bottles of water.
Oh my gosh, man.
I was thirsty. And she did it. She did it. So I felt kind of bad. So, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's really all an illusion. That's what people don't seem to get. Like, it really is that groupthink. Just like, I mean, I liken it to silly high school stuff. Like, oh, they've got a cool jacket. I better get a jacket like theirs. Except it's tyrannical. It's now you got to wear this mask or the cool kids won't think you're cool. I mean, that's kind of the really simplistic psychology of all this nonsense.
Yeah, definitely. It can be awkward sometimes too. I mean, sometimes people look down on you like you're selfish or something to that nature. And that's never fun. But I think it's very important. I think that if we half of us stop wearing our masks, just stop doing it, just deal with the social consequences, that would have a huge impact on our country. I think that's the thing with Trump that I'm a little frustrated with. I support him 100% and I'm thank God that he's our president, but I hate the fact that he doesn't come out and just say that this whole thing was a scam, say that these deaths are lies. The way that they count the deaths, the fact that even these positive tests, most of them are false positive because they can test positive for a common cold. I wish you would come out and say these things out in the open, but obviously he knows things that I don't. But we gotta just lift this cloud of deception and I guess it's oppression and social pressure.
I'm right there with you. I was watching his speech, I think it was last weekend from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and he was talking about the vaccine and the stuff, and I was like, man, would you just stand up there, take the mic and say, I'm done with this hoax. It's a scam. It's Fauci. It's Bill Gates. I mean, I kind of get that he's probably, you know, on some level pandering to that demographic of the vote that just buys it hook, line, and sinker, but is conservative. But I think there's probably by magnitude more that are just like you and I, they know what's up with this whole thing. And they'd go, thank you. You know, it'd be a round of applause for probably like 5 minutes. I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, I would. There'd be a lot of people that'd be happy. And I guess, you know, it comes down to polls that I'm sure he has internal polls. I mean, I know conservatives that are afraid of the virus, but they don't want the government to control us. But they will take a vaccine, definitely. And so he's playing the game. We'll see what happens. But I do think the fact that he said he's going to have a vaccine, I'm not against that because as long as it's not mandatory, if people want to inject themselves with whatever they want, that's their choice. But I think that if he can take the power away from Bill Gates, that would be great. Because this whole thing, other than the grab for power, the other thing about this was about giving Big Pharma all that money and that power too. Big Pharma's behind all of this. That's why you don't ever hear Bill Gates talk about vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, or anything like that. You don't hear – I wish Trump would have done that more too, by the way. But mm-hmm. You don't see these people talking about that when that can solve the problem big time. you know, just your zinc and vitamin D. I think in some of these countries, there's a study where like 90% of the COVID deaths, the people did not have enough vitamin D in their system. And so those things are so important, and big pharma can't make any money off of it.
Yeah, that's the truth. Man, I think another aspect of this whole thing, I see it as kind of this multi-pronged, multi-layered juggernaut, but another big one that kind of touches on the spiritual aspect of this is just shutting down the churches and the synagogues for people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was thinking a lot about this as it pertained to taking prayer out of school in the 60s, and then it hit me the other day. I was like, well, they took prayer out of the whole bleeping nation with this COVID thing. I mean, not prayer in people's hearts and their houses or anything, but as far as meeting as a congregation somewhere, they virtually outlawed that in the country. So I think, I won't even say unintentionally. I think it's very intentional because it took God away from so many people that went to that church. You know, even these horrible blasphemous 501c3s, I mean, for whatever it was, you know, it gave people that little bit of hope on Sunday, and it gave mm-hmm. them that community with their neighbors saying, hey, well, you know, I think this COVID thing's a scam. What do you think? Like, it took that away from so many people, especially probably that older demographic that's not on social media. They're not texting their, you know, 90-year-old neighbor down the street or something, you know?
Right. Yeah, I kind of think it was a good thing, though, because it exposed how many fake preachers there are out there.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't had enough persecution in this country. And so they all folded really fast. A lot of them folded for the money. They got loans from the government, and part of the deal was that the government would forgive the loans if they agreed to follow all of their governor's orders. And so when a church takes $300,000 and then they agree to follow the governor's orders, basically if they choose to open up their church, then they're going to have to pay that money back. So I think that what I saw around here, I saw a lot of people just begin to open up their own churches, which is the way it should be. You don't need a big building. You don't need, you don't need giant, you know, like thousands of dollars worth of lights and all that fancy stuff.
The smoke machine, the snack bar, right, the gift shop. Right. I mean, this is just the Roman Colosseum come to life.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and it's also showed who the real preachers are, the ones who are like, you know what, I'm just going to open up. And, you know, some of these preachers even got arrested. Some of them got fined, and they kept going. They kept staying open. And so I think that the church was pretty much dead for the most part in America. So I think this kind of like gets these guys out of the way and allows new people to move up. And so I kind of try to look at it as a good thing. And I've seen a lot of people rise up. I've seen new preachers rise up, and I've seen, especially during the summer, we saw what his name, Sean, all over the West Coast was throwing huge worship services up and down, you know, California, Oregon, and Washington. You know, you have upward between 5,000 to 10,000 people showing up at times. And so that happened because of the lockdown. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I think that we have too many preachers who spend time talking and they don't take any action. Like you saw when you read in my intro, we need preachers and pastors who are activists, who are out there, who are giving speeches on the streets on a bullhorn, who are standing up for people's rights, the people who are willing to face their fears. Preachers and pastors don't ever talk about facing their fears. All they do is talk about not sinning. But Jesus made it very clear. It doesn't matter how if you follow all the Ten Commandments or not, it doesn't matter. If you're not willing to face your fear, it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. So our fears are individual to each and every single one of us. So that's why it's not like, it can't be like a commandment. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus had to face his fear, especially the night before he was crucified. You know, he had to give himself up, and he knew it was going to happen. He was crying all night. And so we need to use that as an example.
Thank you so much for being on the show once again, man. How can everybody help you and help out Jay's cause as well?
Yeah, so if you want to help out Jay's family, go to justiceforjaynow.com. There's a link in there. And then if you want to keep up on my stuff, I go to patriotprayerusa.com. And all the links to my social media are in there. You can sign up your cell phone so you get notifications. I'm trying to get to texting to get away from social media, or to not rely on social media. Patriotprayerusa.com.
Thank you so much for the time, Joey. I look forward to talking to you soon, man. Be safe out there.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm gonna go to the next one.